Good morning, and welcome to Taylor Tabernacle. Good morning. We are so happy you decided to join us this morning, whether in person in our sanctuary or via our live stream, YouTube or Facebook. We are streaming live to you from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Taylor Tabernacle, where Elder Jonathan Ford is our pastor. We're happy this morning. We are glad this morning. We are here to lift the name of the Lord this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. We bless your name this morning, O Heavenly Father. Come on, somebody, give him just a little bit of praise. Come on, somebody. That's right. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Bless your name this morning. And we glorify you this morning, Lord. Amen. 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 And amen. Amen. Hey, let's go to our scripture first this morning. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 through 6. As is our custom, we ask you to stand for the word of God. This morning, that chapter is titled The Unity of the Spirit. Amen. Ephesians 4, 1 through 6. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. Amen. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. One God, one Father of all, not some, but all, who is above all, who is through all and in you all. Amen. Remember that this morning. Amen. Amen. Let's go to the throne of grace. Most holy and wise Father, we come to you this morning, God, blessing and praising your name, lifting your name up, God. You are worthy. You are worthy to be praised, God. We thank you this morning, God, that you sit high and you look low, Lord. We thank you, God, that you remember us, the least of your children, God. We thank you, God, that you raised us up this morning, able to call on you, Lord, able to lift your name up, and that we think it not robbery to say hallelujah this morning, God. We thank you, God, for all that you are in our lives, God. We thank you for how you protect and keep us, Father. We thank you, Lord, for those who are here today worshiping, God, those who would like to and can, and for those who are on their way, God, grant traveling mercy this morning, God. Hallelujah, Lord. Send your word into the earthly realm this morning, God. Help us to be a shining light this morning on this small corner in Southwest Philadelphia, God. In the name of Jesus, God. Help us to be a shining light to lead someone to you, God, in the name of Jesus. Help us, Lord, to help someone this morning, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, as we just celebrated Thanksgiving, God, help us to remember to be thankful all the days of our life, God, from our rising to our setting of the sun, God, in the name of Jesus, because we know it all comes from you, God, and we thank you, God, for it. We know that you didn't have to, but you did, and we bless your name for it this morning, Lord. We bless your holy name, God. We think it not robbery to cry out, hallelujah. We bless your name this morning, God. We thank you and we praise your holy and righteous name, God. Lord, help something to be said this morning to prick someone's heart, Father, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, God, someone thinks that their end is near, God, in the name of Jesus. Help them to know your loving arms of protection are around them, God, and that you love them best, God, in the name of Jesus. Someone is suffering grief this morning, God. Help them to know that they're not alone, that you are there by their side. Lord, someone is sick, God, and the doctor has said no, God, but help them to know that you are the doctor that has never lost the case, God, and only you can say yes or no in the name of Jesus. We bless your name this morning, this morning, Lord, and we just thank you, God. We just thank you, God. If we had 10,000 tongues, we couldn't thank you enough for all that you are in our lives, God. in the name of Jesus. We bless your holy and righteous name this morning, God. We thank you for provision made for us, God, in the name of Jesus. We glorify you this morning, God. We just have to say hallelujah this morning, God. Hallelujah this morning, God. Hallelujah this morning, God. Thank you, God. Hallelujah in the name of Jesus, God. Oh, God, search us, God. Search our heart to the bone and marrow, God. Hallelujah. Let your word, God, seep into us, God. Let it be written on the fleshly tables of our heart this morning, God. Help us to do your will and your way and your word, God, in this world, God, in the name of Jesus. I thank you, God. I thank you this morning, Father. I bless you. I bless you. I bless you this morning, God. Hallelujah. We glorify you this morning, God. We glorify you this morning, God, in the mighty and holy and matchless name of Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Hey, this morning we have a treat. This morning our praise and worship team is ready to come and give us a few selections. We are excited about that. We don't get to hear them very often, but as they begin to assemble themselves, we are glad this morning to have Taylor Tabernacle's praise and worship team. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning, church.
Good morning. Happy belated Thanksgiving. I hope that everybody enjoyed your Thanksgiving. I hope that we were able to take the time to reflect on things that we are thankful for. Me personally, I'm thankful for the leftovers.
Amen. Amen.
Not just the food, the leftover food that my sister Leah Davis made for us that lasted us a few days after Thanksgiving, but I'm also thankful for the leftovers that God gives us.
Amen.
That is more than enough. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, that means you will not listen to me. So we're just thankful for the leftovers. Our first song is going to be Oh, Give Thanks.
Thank you, Lord.
We just want to give God the glory, give God the worship. You guys participate with us and just reflect on which you guys are thankful for, okay?
Amen.
So let Oh, Give Thanks.
Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Yes, he is good. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Yes, he is good. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Yes, he is good. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Yes, he is good, for he is worthy, worthy, for he is good. Yes, he is good, for he is worthy, worthy, for he is good. Yes, he is good. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Yes, he is good. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Yes, he is good, for he is worthy, worthy, for he is good. Yes, he is good, for he is worthy, worthy, for he is good. Yes, he is good, for he is worthy, worthy, for he is good. Yes, he is good, for he is worthy, worthy, for he is good. Yes, he is good.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Our next song is going to be
Let the glory of the Lord rise among us. Let the glory of the Lord rise among us. Let the praises of our King rise among us. Let it rise. Let the glory of the Lord rise among us. Let the glory of the Lord rise among us. Let the praises of our King rise among us. Let it rise. Let the glory of the Lord rise among us. Let the glory of the Lord rise among us. Let the praises of our King rise among us. Let it rise. Let the glory of the Lord rise among us. Let the praises of our King rise among us. Let it rise.
Oh, let the glory of the Lord.
Let the glory of the Lord rise among us. Let the glory of the Lord rise among us. Let the praises of our King rise among us. Let it rise.
Sing, oh,
oh, oh, oh, let it rise.
Sing, oh,
oh, oh, oh, let it rise.
And God bless you. Thank God for seeing your faces on this post-Thanksgiving Sunday. We thank God for his goodness. Thank God for his overwhelming blessing. How many of us had a good Thanksgiving? Amen? Thank God for Jesus Christ. Hey, if you have your Bibles, we're going to go to the Word of God. We're in the Gospel of St. Mark, the 7th chapter. We're going to look at the last story contained in that chapter, Mark 7, verses 31 through 37. Thank God for our praise team this morning. Thank God for you. Also, as we're preparing for the Word of God, special thanks I want to thank Jemay. I want to thank Brother Sean Kimball, Sister Sharon, and also Sister Rochelle for the distribution of Thanksgiving meals. They distributed 25 Thanksgiving dinners on this past Tuesday to families in West and Southwest Philadelphia. So I want to say a special thank you to them. Thank you to our partner, Bethel AME Church and Pastor Cavanis, for including us in the distribution. Really thank God for that. Really going out of our way. And they did a great job selecting families that were in need. So thank God for that. And again, we're in the Gospel of St. Mark, the 7th chapter, verses 31. And we'll add to the witness out of the book of Hebrews, the 4th chapter, verse 15. Amen. Very familiar passage. Amen. Everybody have that? Everyone have their Bibles? No one's taking my word for it this morning, okay? See it and read it for yourselves. Amen? So if you're there, Mark 7 and 31, it says, again, departing from the region of Tyre and Sidon, he came through the midst of the region of Decapolis, by way of the Sea of Galilee. And then they brought to him one who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they begged him to put his hand on him. And he took him aside from the multitude. He put his fingers in his ear and he spat and touched his tongue. And then looking up into heaven, he sighed and said to him, Ephatha, Ephatha, it's pronounced it wrong, I've been working on that, Ephatha is how that is pronounced, Ephatha, which translated means be opened. Immediately his ears were open, and the impediment of his tongue was loosed, and he spoke plainly. Then he commanded them that they should tell no one. But the more he commanded them, the more widely they proclaimed it. They were astonished beyond measure, saying, he has done all things well. He makes both the deaf to hear and also the mute to speak. Amen. Hey, let's jump over to Hebrews 4:15, again, familiar passage. We'll back up. We'll start at verse 14 and just flow it down. It says, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. He identifies who the great high priest is. Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot be touched or sympathized with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Verse 16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Amen. This Sunday morning, I want to talk from the subject, he touched me. Amen. How many of you remember that old church song we used to sing a long time? That's old church. He touched me, and he made me whole. I want to draw on that title from that song, as it fits, relative, to this particular story that we are looking at, this Sunday morning, how the Lord, Jesus touched this man who was both deaf and had an inability to speak and communicate. Amen? Father in heaven, we thank you for the privilege that is ours to gather here in this sacred place, to gather here among these special people and to gather around this unbelievable and incredibly powerful word. God, we thank you that you've given us eyes to see. You've given us ears to hear. And above all, you've given us a heart by which we can believe, and that our faith can be ignited, and that our trust in you can be confirmed. So do for us again. Magnify us and lift us up by and through your word. Holy Spirit, do what only you can do for us, and cause the word of God to be planted in good ground. This is our prayer, our hope, and our request this Sunday morning. All of God's people say amen, amen, amen again. You may be seated all over the sanctuary. And so now we pick up the story of the ministry and the itinerary of Jesus Christ. We realized last Sunday he was in this region of Tyre and Sidon and dealing with the Syrophoenician woman. And now it says he gets up, he departs from that region in verse 31, and he now comes in the area of Decapolis by the Sea of Galilee. Verse 32, and here we are, just a few verses today, and we're jumping right into it. It says, then they brought to him one who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to put his hand on him. Okay? And then they brought to him one who was deaf, had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to put his hand on him. So let's unpack this verse here, because I think if we do a good job here, I think it'll help the rest of the sermon to kind of fall in place. It says, so then they brought to him one who had these conditions. The first thing that I want to point out or look at is the they. Who are they? Okay? Doesn't define who the they are. Doesn't give any insight, but it says, then they brought this guy. Okay? The they, lifting it up and to bring it to where we are today, if you will, the they represents you and I. The they in the story as it was taking place then represent those who cared about this guy. Right? I think we can make that leap in saying that without doing harm to the text, because if they didn't care about him, what? They wouldn't have bought him. Why go through the trouble? Why go through the effort? Anywhere Jesus went, even when he sought privacy, he was always what? Surrounded by a multitude. So if you're going to bring anybody to Jesus, it's not only do you got to get there, but then you have to fight through the crowd to get to him, right? So I think it's safe we could say that this they, as related in the story, were people who cared about this guy, right? Now, bringing it forward to where we are today and how this is relevant to us, the they in the story represents you and I. Why? Because we all have someone that what? We care for, right? And if I'm telling the truth, somebody say amen, right? Aren't there folks that you love, you like, you are concerned about or concerned for, right? And even moreover, as believers, we have a concern for them just beyond them being our family, beyond them being our friends. We ought to have a concern, what? That their soul, what? Be saved. And if their soul is going to be saved, the only thing we can do is what? Bring them to what? Bring them to Jesus. Right? Are you following with me? If you got it, say, I got it. So it says, then they, we got the they, it was them, and the they are us, right? We have loved ones. And so they brought him, and then they define who this, the him is nameless. They didn't say they brought Peter, they brought Zephaniah, no name, they just say they brought a guy, right? And instead of Mark identifying to us, if Mark knew, identifying to us who the guy is, he describes the condition the guy's in. Right? Do you see it? And I'm telling you, I'm not making this up. This is in your Bible, right? They brought this guy to him, the people who concerned about him, brought a guy, and they describe his condition. The text says he was deaf, couldn't hear, and he had an impediment in his speech, okay? Deaf, he cannot hear, right? He was unable to receive sound. He was unable to receive communication in the way that the majority of people did, okay? He had what you and I would call a handicap, okay? This guy was handicapped. Unlike those who bought him who could hear, this guy could not, right? And lifting up for you Matthew 13:15, it says, for this people's heart has waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have been closed, right? Again, that was his condition then, and it also represents the condition of the people, what? Now. Why? Why? Because the people of this generation, this era, this time in world history, many have what? Gone deaf to the things of God. This guy had a physical inability to hear, where we're living in a generation who they don't have a physical inability to hear, but they have a spiritual lack of desire to hear. If ever there was a time in human history where information can be received and translated and made available to you, it is now. The Bible is on our phone. The Bible is on our tablets. The Bible is in a variety of translation, making it easy to hear and receive. But yet we live in a time where what? The hearing of many have gone what? Have waxed cold. Right? Don't want to hear that. Don't want to do that. So again, this guy now becomes a representative of the world we live in, right? Wish I had a witness. Am I telling the truth? Am I close? Am I near home plate? Right? This is the world we live in. They have access to it, but they what? They don't want to hear. Here it is. Not only could this guy not hear, the text said he had a speech impediment, right? It's not that he couldn't talk. It's that when he did speak, no one could understand. Are you with me? A speech impediment happens when a person's mouth, jaw, tongue, and vocal tract cannot work together to produce recognizable words, okay? So they stutter, or some old folks used to say they stumble over their words, right? They're trying to communicate, but are unable, right? Is that not also a representative of our times today, right? Even when you do find those with a desire to come to Christ, right? That they have been bombarded with so many what the Bible called false gods and false religion. There are so many variations of God today. It's unbelievable. People say, "Oh yeah, I believe in God," right? I don't go to church and I just communicate with Him through yoga, or I do that, or I just meditate, and that's how they. There is something obviously pulling them to a higher power, pulling them to something greater than themselves, but they don't know how to communicate it. They don't know how to express it, and therefore they become vulnerable to any Tom, Dick, or Harry with another way to try, another option to consider, right? And they become unable to communicate to the true God, right? Right? And they're trying to communicate through this or trying to communicate through that. And they're trying this week and they're trying something else after the holidays. And it's all in an attempt. They realize there is something or someone greater, but they don't know how to communicate. This world needs what? They. Who are the they? You. Us. What they're missing, what they're unable to do, who they're trying to reach, they may not know how to get there, but God has called us to be what? Witnesses, right? They brought him to Jesus. So here he is, he's deaf, can't hear. He has a speech impediment, he can't communicate, right? But we can all agree with this, we all can agree that what? He wanted to be made better. Would you agree with that? And Mark doesn't spell it out in specifics, but this guy being deaf, being unable to speak, I think we all could agree that he wanted to be better. He wanted to hear. He wanted to be able to communicate, but was unable, what, to fix himself. Am I right about it? Here it is. This guy, like the Syrophoenician woman, was a Gentile, therefore had no right to the children's bread. This guy had physical limitations which handicapped his access to Jesus. And so what is a guy like this? And what is a world like we face now? What are they to do when there are so many barriers to access to the one and true God? What are people to do today if they have no they? They have no us, someone concerned enough, someone concerned not only about their spiritual, their physical and emotional well-being, but concerned about their spiritual well. What is a guy to do? The question for us, what is this world to do when they are unable to reach God? What is this world to do when we are unwilling to take them to God? Look at somebody and say, we're in trouble now. Pastor, if you would have left it on them, it would have been fine. But you, we tell them we got a role to play in this, right? But thanks be unto God when we are unable to get to God, when we are unable to bring them to God. So glad that we have a God that can what? Come to where we are. Right? This guy, Jesus, has made a point. I'm leaving the Jewish region. I'm leaving Jerusalem. I'm leaving from the parts that have Judaism and have knowledge and the law. And I'm going where? Down into Decapolis, Gentile territory. Not where they have temples. Not where they have the law. But I'm going to for people that do not know the one and true God. Am I right about it? So here it is. He's here. He's here. Now let's get down to it. Here's the miracle right here. He's here now. We got the guy. We got his condition. Here we are, verse 33. This is why I love Jesus. Everybody's got to have their own reason why you love Jesus. This is mine right here. Look at what it says. He says, he, meaning Jesus, took him, meaning the guy with the condition, he took him aside from the multitude, put his fingers in his ears, and spat and touched his tongue. This is why I love Jesus. Jesus is willing to give private ministry. What would we do if our lives were put on public display? What would we do? Think about it. There are so many parts of our lives that we want on public display. And so we post it. And so we put it out in pictures and short videos. Because we want people to see what? The good parts of our lives. the best part, the shining part. I was preparing this text and I couldn't help but think about Naaman. Naaman, coming out of the Old Testament, was a significant man, a important man. Naaman was the captain of the army, right? He was an important man, and as being the captain of the army, he was a warring man. He was a great man of war, and as a result, the Bible tells us that he had great armor, a lot of gold and brass. He had a great helmet that warriors wore into battle, and on his hip, he carried a great shield. But underneath all of that gold and underneath all of that glitter, the Bible tells us that what? Naaman was a leper. Naaman had the worst disease in that era for world history. He was a leper. That meant he was an outcast. But Naaman, because he was a man of war, he did what? He covered it all up. He covered it with his breastplate. He covered it up with his sword. He covered it up with his helmet. You couldn't tell he was a leper by looking at his head because he had a beautiful helmet piece on his head. He had a great big shield that he could hold in front of him. And so to everybody, Naaman looked like a superstar. Why? Because he had gold and bronze and brass everywhere. But the truth of the matter is that what? Naaman was a leper. You didn't want to touch Naaman for fear he would contaminate you. Religious people didn't want to deal with Naaman because he was considered unholy. Right? Defiled because of his skin condition. So here he is. Let's get to it. Jesus, this guy, deaf, can't hear, speech impediment, can't communicate. And they bring him. We already know the story of Jesus in ministry. No matter where he went, there was always a crowd around him. People always gravitated to him. Why? Because people always wanted something, what? From him. Right? So imagine, here's the crowd. And they bring this guy who's handicapped. And I love what Jesus does. Jesus takes him aside. And now he begins to deal with the man privately outside of public purview. Right? Let me see if my real church is here. How many of us are thankful that Jesus provides private ministry, right? Where he's willing to pull us outside of public purview, outside of the public air, the public eye, and deal with us in private. Here it is. So now he's got him away from the crowd. Y'all stay over here. Come on, fella. Let's me and you go in my office. Let's me and you go out of here. I'm going to deal with this in private. Now look what he does in private. In private, look what it says. He put his fingers in his ear, spits on his hands, and then put his fingers in his mouth. How many know that wouldn't play today? All of us have our mouths covered. All of us have our hands where? In our pockets. Why? We now live in a time where as society of people, what? We are less inclined to have physical or human touch for fear, what? Of our own lives. Right? But Jesus takes his hand, goes into his ears, right? Only person who put fingers in my ears was my mother, and that's because of what? I had wax in there, trying to get that wax out. But Jesus, y'all missed that. I gave y'all something, and you just let it roll by. Well, whatever. Here you go. Here you go. Let's get to it then, since you have sleep. Let me get to it. Here it is. He goes finger in the ears, spits on his hands, and then he touches his tongue, right? We all realize that wouldn't work today. So here it is. So get this. So let's not focus on what he did, right? Because we all just said that ain't, this generation ain't going to get it. Let's not focus on what he did, but let's focus on where he put his hand. Are you with me? Let's not focus on what he did with it. Don't, let's not focus on the spitting. Let's not focus on the air. Let's not focus what he did with his hand. But let's focus on where he put his hands. Right? Are you looking at it? He put some fingers in his ears. Might I remind you that this guy was what? Deaf. And what? And could not hear. Don't get tricked up by the fingers and what he's done. But look where Jesus places his hands. First on the ears. Let's not get tripped up over the fact that he spit into his hands, because if we study the ministry of Jesus, he has often used spittle in the performance of his miracle. So let's not get freaked out over the spit on his fingers, but let's take note away put his hands. Then with his other hands, he put fingers on his tongue, right? Both areas representing what? Areas of brokenness in this man's life. His ears were what? Broken. That's why he couldn't hear. His tongue was what? Broken. That's why he could not speak, right? And God takes his hand, fingers of God, and he touches, here's the sermon, my broken places. I wish I had a real church this Sunday. That's the sermon right there. Look, not only does he touch my broken places, but he touches them in private. He doesn't expose me to you. Why? The world already knows your deficiency. That's why they have defriended you. That's why they have unassociated themselves from you. Why? They see your, in spite of how many times you post pictures, in spite how many times you post video, the world is drawing further and further away from you. But thanks be unto our, oh God, here it is. Either you get it or you don't. Either your Jesus does not withdraw from the man, but he comes near and he touches his broken places. How many of us, in spite of what we put on Facebook, in spite of what we put out on Gram, how many of us are willing to admit, I have broken places. I have parts in my life that are dysfunctional. They don't work. And all of my life, I've been trying to cover it up so that people can think I'm better than what I really am. So like Naaman, I cover it up. I put gold over top of it. I put a helmet to cover it up. I put a sword, something to draw your attention away from what? The real broken areas. But thanks be unto God. He not only knows our broken places, but he is willing to touch them. He's willing to put his hands in dirty places. He's willing to put his hands on dirty people. He's willing to put his hands on dirty secrets. I wish I had a real church. Right? He's face to face. He's in private now. He can open up to the Lord. this man does for us, what we need done for us. He gives us an example that if we would have faith and just open ourselves unto God, he will. He'll touch us. He'll touch us in the places we don't talk about. He'll touch us in the areas we don't chat about this. We don't put this in the group text. But I'm so glad that he's willing to touch me. And while we live in a society where everyone is scared to be in proximity to anyone else, and everyone is scared to be around anyone else, cold, flu, RSV, everyone is scared that someone near them may sneeze and somehow contaminate them. And we are on the verge of becoming a touchless society. Thanks be to God that we have a Savior, as the Hebrew writer tells us, who can be touched. Right? By the feeling of our infirmity. Not only can he be touched or moved or motivated by compassion, he can be touched, but he's also willing to do the touching. When we are unable to touch him, when we are unwilling to touch him, what? He reaches out and he touches us. I told you that's the song out of the old church. Says what? Oh, he what? He touched me. Isn't that what he said, Bar? He touched me. And the songwriter said, in all the joy that flowed. Can you imagine this guy? When the Lord said, what are you going in my ear for? Why are you going in my mouth? It doesn't matter. The Lord touched me. And oh, the joy that flooded my soul. Why? Because something, what happened? That's right. And now I know. What is it you know? I know that the Lord touched me. That's what the world needs. That's what we need. Our friends, our family, what they need is a touch from the Lord. Look at somebody and say, let the Lord touch you. That's what this world needs, is for the Lord to touch them. And then he says, the private setting with this guy who's dealing with brokenness all over his life, his deafness, his speech impediment, they just serve for us as examples that this guy was broken in many places. That's all for your theological benefit. That's all you got to get out of it. That he was broken in multiple places. But everywhere he was broke, the master was willing to touch. And after touching them, he says, Ephphatha, be open. Because it's broken, we often what cover it up. Because it's broken, we don't allow people to come in. Because it's broken, we hide it outside of public view. Don't want no one to know. Don't want no one to see. Why? Because it's broken. Why? Because I'm broken. That's the way I act, the way I act. I'm trying to cover up this other area that I don't want. So I'm going to do something and try to draw your attention to this area of my life so that I can keep the broken parts hidden from public view. But Jesus is not only willing to touch, but he's willing to bless. He blessed this guy and he said, be open. Ears open, tongue open, mouth open, jawbone open, all of it now working the way that God intended. I wish I had a witness. The text said in 34, immediately his ears were open and his tongue was loose, all because the master had touched his broken places and commanded get this, he commanded that they be repaired, restored, and made like new. Made the way God intended. Made the way he created Adam. Made the way he created Eve. And that is a picture of what God, by his Spirit, wants to do in the lives of everybody under the sound of my voice. He wants to touch you. He wants to connect with your broken places. He wants the dirty things of our lives so that God can make them like new. Somebody shout yes. Be open. Daniel 10:10 says, behold, a hand touched me, and it set me upon my knees, and it set me upon the palm. The glory of God had caused Daniel to fall flat on his face. But it was the hand of the Lord that what touched him and what lifted him back up. And that's what God wants to do for us today. Look at somebody and just ask the question, why won't you let him touch you? Why go another year of covering it up? Why go another year of trying to hide it? Why go another year of trying to act like there's nothing wrong? When we have access to the healer. Look, I finished with this. It closed out by saying the people remarked when he came back into public view. They said, look at God. He does all things well. That's in your Bible. You just read that. Why not let him do all things well in your life? He wants to. He's willing to. He's waiting to. You just got to be willing to bring your what? Your broken places. And allow him to touch you. Then you will declare, like the people, he has done all things well. You can't look at that phrase and not hearken back to the creation account. Because it was there in the creation account that at the end of every creative day, the Bible tells us God looked at what he did and said what? It is good. God said, it's well. It's well. That's what he said. Right? That's another song we used to sing in the old church. What? It is well. What? What? With my soul. Everything else in your life, it's either well or you're pretending that it's well. What is it? But what about your soul? Is it well in your soul? Have the broken places, have you allowed the master in to touch you? And to command the demons that are fighting you, get your hands off her. Get your hands off of him. He belongs to me. And I want him the way I created him from the very beginning. That's the way I want her. Why? Because I'm ready to bless her. I'm ready to do some marvelous things in her life, but I need her able what? To receive what God has. We sing that song, what God has for me is for me. True statement, true statement. But yet so many people don't have what God has for them. You ever notice that? They shout about it, but they don't have it. They don't possess it. And do you know why? The majority of people do not experience the blessing of God because they're not ready. How many of you would give your little children thousands of dollars in cash? It's not that you don't want to, but you know what? You're not going to do it. Why? They're not ready for it. They can't handle it. Why? Can't handle it what? They can't handle it now. Right? But the Bible says if we train them in the way that they ought to go, guess what? There are greater blessings in store for them, what? Down the road. But they what? They've got to be prepared. Because if you give it to them now, give it to them in that fact, they're going to waste it. And I'll tell you something no one's ever told you about your God. He is not wasteful. Most preachers don't tell you that. Because most preachers don't know that. But your God is not wasteful. And so before he gives a blessing, he what? He prepares you to what? Receive the blessing. That's how the blessings of the Lord go from the initial recipient down to what? The fourth generation. Why? They've all been prepared. And so the blessing of the Lord just keeps what? Keeps going on. Why? Because the people are what? Prepared for it. Can handle it. Ready. Know how to receive. Know when to receive. Know how to respond when they see. They respond with what? Thanksgiving. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Why? Why? By his blessing. And I know that the proper response is to what? Is to give thanks. It's to lift my hands. To open my mouth. I couldn't talk before, but now that I can, I'm going to give what? Thanks be unto our God. Yeah, right. Why, someone taught me how to receive the blessing. I know what to do. I know to get on my knees and thank him. I know to lift my hand. I know to open my mouth. Why? I've been prepared to receive the blessing of the Lord. And now the blessing of the Lord does what? It overtakes me. Blesses not only me and my house, but now the blessing perpetuates. Why? Wow, I've prepared my children, my grandchildren. Why? To receive the goodness of the Lord. Imagine the kind of father this guy became. Telling his children, his wife, his grandchildren, for years, I couldn't talk. Years, I couldn't hear. Then one day, Jesus came by. What? He touched me. And oh, the joy. That's what he told his children about. Oh, the joy. All because I exposed my brokenness to the Master. Shall we all stand? We thank God for the mirror that the Word of God is, that we can stand in front of it, the Word of God, Spirit of God, shows us exactly where we are, the Word of God. Even if your family doesn't, even if your friends don't, the Word of God will always show you where you stand in relation to God. We'll expose the broken places. But what I love about this mirror is what? It's in a private setting. It's not out there for you to see, for you to know. Just me and Jesus. Jesus says, I see exactly what you see. I know it's there. When will you allow me to touch it? When will you finally open up? Say, here I am, Lord. Here I am. This is how I really look. I know how I act with the church people. I know how I carry on at work. But here's the real deal. I'm broken in so many places. I feel worse than Humpty Dumpty. Because I don't believe anybody can put me back together again. That's what the Word of God is for. That's why you and I carry the Word of God. To tell this world, there is somebody, there is a man from Galilee who can pick up and touch every broken place. If you would just let him. This guy could have resisted. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Why are you taking me away from my people? What? Where are you going, Jesus? He could have drawn back when he saw Jesus spit on his hand. Whoa. I agreed to come to church, but I don't want you spitting on me. No, he could have. But he said, you know what? I've been doing that all my life. Allowing my handicap to hold me back. You know what I'm going to do today? I'm going to let the Lord touch me. It won't be a proper touch. It won't be a cross. It won't be a horizontal and over. No, no. I'm going to let the Lord spit on me. This Sunday, I'm going to let the Lord put his finger. I don't even wash my own ears. How much so am I going to allow God? But you know what? This Sunday, because I'm tired of it. I'm tired of being unable to hear the things of God. God is doing so much and I can't hear it. I'm so tired of being unable to communicate with God. I'll let him touch my tongue. And if he's willing, he can make me whole. I don't know where you are or who you are this Sunday morning. This message is not for some of us or most of us. This is the Word of God that is for all of us. Because we all have broken places. We all have secret areas. Today, the Lord says, you don't have to expose them to the world. I was shocked, almost beyond belief. Sat down with my tea as I do every Sunday morning before I begin the whole process of getting myself together and going down to church. Watching the news. Young guy kills a young person and then shows somebody via FaceTime the bloody body. That's the world we live in. You and I are looking like, oh, I'm glad we shot. I don't know about you. I was shocked. Almost spilled the tea on myself. But then I thought about it. And the shock lessened. It's the world we live in, Bob. And all he was a person with broken areas. That's all he was. He had brokenness that had gone unattended his whole life. Now his brokenness has spilled over and has now broken someone else. Where were the theys in his life? Was there anyone to let him know that the master careth for you? Was there anyone there to offer him hope out of the word of God? That says you don't have to kill yourself, nor do you have to kill anyone else. And that's the danger of our brokenness. Like many of us, when we hear brokenness, we think of it only as it pertains to us. But the real danger in broken glass. Anybody know the real danger in broken glass? Is that it will cut someone else. Tons of people are at the house this weekend. Seems like every day another glass. What? Crash! Even before we swept it up, we said, what? Everybody get on shoes. Everybody don't go in the kitchen. Because if you go in now, you risk the pot of being cut. What? Somebody else broke it. But the damage will affect you. Man, I wish I had a real church this Sunday who would hear this kind of message and recognize not only am I broke, but the greater danger is that I'll break someone else with my brokenness. My hurt, my pain spills over because I had no they to bring me to Jesus. No one to carry me to where the master was. Never got an opportunity for private ministry and have the Lord touch me. Have the Lord heal me. Have the Lord make me whole again. Finally, the pressure becomes too great. I can no longer contain my own brokenness. Now it spills over. And now I began to harm the very people I love. Why? That's what brokenness does. We wouldn't have said nothing or done nothing. People would have gone right into the kitchen. And now you're damaged. But today, the Word of God tells us that what we have, I have. See, I'm taking my time because I feel the Holy Spirit ministering. He's doing it. He's doing it. This is the part of the sermon where the Holy Ghost takes over. He's already in control. And what he's ministering, where? To the broken places. I'm just trying to encourage you. Open. Let him in. Let him touch you. Let him heal the broken places in your life. To him that has done all things well. Lord, we bring to you our broken places, our hurt, our pain, our shame, our disgrace. We believe that if you would just touch us, we would be made well. Father in heaven, don't allow us to endure another holiday season where we cover up our brokenness. But cause us to come boldly to the throne of grace to find the help and the mercy that we really need. In Jesus' name. Lord Jesus, I thank you. Thank you for healing this man. As this man represents all of us. Thank you for encouraging Mark to record this story. None of the other gospel writers recorded it. It's not in Matthew, it's not in Luke, not in John. Paul doesn't talk about it in his epistles. But this young man who loved the Lord penned a seemingly unimportant story in the gospel concerning Jesus Christ. Thank you for letting us know that you're willing to touch us. Thank you for letting us know that you're willing to do private ministry. We thank you in advance for healing our broken places. Thank you even now, even as you've done in the beginning, you have done all things exceptionally well. And we thank you for it. We give your name the glory. We give your name the highest praise. All of God's people say amen, amen, and amen again. You may be seated all over the sanctuary.
In our lives. Amen. Hallelujah. Bless your name. Bless your name, God. Bless your name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bless your name. Hey, it's time to transition. It's offering time in the tabernacle. Amen. Amen. It's offering time in the tabernacle. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, First Lady. Thank you. Amen. It's offering time in the tabernacle. Amen. Amen. Our sister Cassandra McCoy is going to come and give us instruction for that, followed by our sister Kennedy McCoy, who's going to bring us our morning announcements. And the final voice you will hear will be that of our pastor bringing us the morning benediction. Amen. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. At this time, we will gather to worship through giving. This morning, you may give through one of four ways, including text to give, online giving, through our website, using the U.S. Postal Mail, and now also by Venmo. To give by text message, text the code TAYLOR61 to the phone number 73256, and you will receive a link with instructions. To give through our website, please go to taylortabernacle.com/giving and follow the instructions. To give by U.S. mail, please send check or money order to Taylor Tabernacle, P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, PA 19139. And Venmo at taylor-tabernacle-6309. For those gathered with us in the sanctuary today, you will find two offering baskets next to the side door ramp. One for tithes and offerings, one for the preacher. Please place your sealed envelopes in these baskets as you exit the sanctuary. As always, we thank you for your continued support of our ministry.
The pastor and leadership team would like to thank you for joining us this Sunday. Our live stream service will continue via Facebook and YouTube Live so that you may continue to join us in worship from your home. Remember to hit subscribe right there on the YouTube page or follow us on Facebook at Taylor Tabernacle so that you are informed and up to date with all our upcoming gatherings and dates. If you are not receiving our weekly emails, please send us your new email address and we will add you to the list. Thank you. When you decide to join us for in-person worship, please take your temperature before leaving home and bring a mask to wear. If you or someone in your family has had contact with anyone who has the COVID-19 virus, we encourage you to please stay home. Wednesday night Bible study / prayer service, 7 p.m. via Google Meet. December 4th, Communion Sunday. The church van is operational. Please leave a message on the church voicemail by Thursday or call Brother Sean Kimball directly to schedule transportation. Thank you.
All stand. Hey, before we close out, I just want to acknowledge the newlyweds that are in our company this morning, Joshua and Melissa Lee. Amen. Let's thank God for them. Amen. They're back. They've been honeymooning for the last 3 weeks, 4 weeks. I don't know how many. I don't even know why they came back, but we thank God for them. Just an absolutely beautiful wedding. My wife and I had the privilege of attending in first class all the way. Not only was the wedding ceremony and the reception exceptional, but I just want to lift them up because of their approach to the whole institution of holy matrimony. And I can say they did it the right way, right? They did it the right way. They came for the counseling. They made the hard choices, the difficult decisions that you have to do in preparing for marriage, right? And that prepares them for a life ahead, not only between them, their families, but also with Christ centered in them. So I'm so proud of them, proud to be their pastor, proud to have them be a part of our church, proud for them for being such a wonderful light. Situation like that, the wonderful thing for me, I got to meet all their family and friends and to hear them say, oh yeah, Josh has told me about his church, his pastor. Oh yeah, Melissa always talks about her church and letting the light shine. They're being the what? The they. They're the they. Bringing them. It may not show up every Sunday, but they're on their way. Why? Because the what? The light is shining through them. And so we thank God for them. Just pray for them. Bless them. Pray that God bless their marriage. Amen. Father in heaven, we lift our sights towards the holy mount of God, to Mount Zion, the place where God reigns and rules. We lift our hearts upward into heaven, to the throne room of God. We pray and we ask for your blessing even as we exalt your name. We fill our mouth with the praises of God. We clap our hands and make the melody of heaven, so that all the world would know that great is our God and greatly to be praised. Go with us now, Lord. Stand by us. Fight for us. Stand up strong in the heart and in the life of the believer everywhere. And give us the courage not to put our light under a bowl, but to let it shine brightly for the whole world to see. This is our prayer. We ask it in Jesus' name. God bless you, Taylor. Be blessed. We'll see you next Sunday for communion.